get started.
Oh, so you don't want me to record yet?
No, we're fine.
Thanks. Go ahead. Just remember, everybody, sensitive mics, pick up side conversations.
First, let's go ahead and go around the table and have everybody introduce themselves. You want to start with Robert?
Robert Cosin, St. George.
Russell Smith with the Attorney General's Office.
Barry Huntington, Garfield County Attorney.
Scott Stevenson, Peace Officer, Standing in Training, representing Commissioner Scott.
Scott Sweat, Wasatch County.
Will Carlson, Salt Lake County.
Paul Boyd, Salt Lake County.
Sydney Hill, Salt Lake County. Tyson Steen, Prosecution Counsel.
Andy Choate, U.S. Attorney's Office.
Jeff Buhlman, Utah County.
Bob Church, UPC.
Jan Ferris, Morgan County Attorney.
Kaylee Christensen, Utah County.
Ronald Jasperson, Prosecution Counsel.
I'm UPC.
Steve Garza, Layton City. Welcome, everybody. Haley Christensen, if you wouldn't mind. She's our newest member, just appointed as the chair of UPAA of Utah County.
Yeah.
All right.
Happy to be here.
We're glad to have you here. We'll make sure that Bob stays between you and Jeff so that
that's right.
Don't have any of those office issues arise. All right, so let's go ahead and we're glad to have you with us, Haley. Approval of the minutes from the October 6, 2016 meeting. Anybody had an opportunity to review those and any amendments, corrections, or a motion to adopt?
There was a typo on page 2 on the bottom. Under subsection 2, it just says swap board rather than swap board. That's the only thing I thought. So it'd be under page 4B2.
Oh, okay.
Swap. It's a bit swap.
Some of us are more swap. We're a bunch of sailors.
You have that?
Oh, I got it, yeah.
You have that corrected? All right. Anything else?
Otherwise, I'd make a motion to approve the minutes.
Okay, the motion to approve the minutes with that amendment. Do I have a second?
A second.
Second, all in favor, aye?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, that takes care of the minutes. Let's go to the conferences. Bob and Marilyn.
Civil conferences was the first one where Darcy and Valerie were in charge. Did a great job, looking forward to working with them. Unless there's any other questions about that, county executive, again, was a good conference. The biggest thing that came out of that is the county attorneys preferred to have spring conference the same weekend as the judicial conference to try to maximize attendance. The problem was, we knew this when we were down there, is we called all the venues in Davis, Salt Lake, Utah counties, and everything was booked. So the only place that was available was the Riverwoods up in Logan. So that is where spring conference will be. I'll talk a little bit about it. Well, I'll just go into that because that is the next conference. We anticipate that our numbers will be down just because it is off the Wasatch Front, but we knew that going into it. So we're going to put out a save the date flyer here in a week or so, letting all the offices know so that they can start to plan and budget for that.
Where's the judicial?
I don't know, Marilyn, do you know where the judicial is this year?
Sorry. Have a place.
There's another chair up here, Marilyn. Okay.
Anything else with regard to any of the other conferences you want to talk about now? Or
no. Do you want me to go to upcoming conferences? Or
we'll do that a little bit later.
Right. No, nothing else to report.
Okay.
All
right.
Oh. We'll get it later.
Okay.
Okay. Financial report then, Bob.
Okay, you can see under tab D, just the surcharge monthly report. I've got October, November numbers from this year compared to last year. You can see that, the October 2015, that number is incorrect. That should be probably, I don't know if it's 56,000 or if it's 45,000, I left off before. So that is a typo that I will correct before the next meeting. The budget is essentially the same that was adopted in 2016, but there's a couple of changes. As I mentioned in the SWAT board meeting, CCJJ voted appreciate the efforts of Ned Searle and Christine Waters, but they were able to approve additional funding for the SV grant. It included a 5% salary increase, and that will get her through the end of fiscal year 17. The other thing, just be aware, is when an attorney reaches 5 years with the AG's office, they're awarded a $500 annual pay increase. That's part of the AG attorney compensation plan. In terms of billing swap, that was approved, so I will send a bill, or the swap board approved, reimbursing UPC the net cost of civil conference, which was $12,545.31. So that's it in terms of the budget, unless people have specific questions. Oh, no, actually, sorry. Donation to the Utah Journal of Criminal Law, your budget issue. I'm on the board, editorial board of the Utah Journal of Criminal Law. You can see the other prosecutors that are on that. Hopefully you all have received, sorry, this is page 3, paragraph C. So hopefully you all have received copy. Well, you wouldn't have received copies in the last year because the board, the chair of the board and Hart, Gary Hart, is that right? The legal defender in Salt Lake. I can't remember his name now. That died tragically.
Kent Hart.
Yeah, he was the editor-in-chief. When he passed away, the board kind of fell. We weren't doing anything, and we also discovered that the funding that was going towards the journal was erroneously being paid by the law school, by the U, so there has not been an edition that's been published since then. As a board, they're looking at different ways to try to find funding to print the journal. It costs about $5,000 to print 1,200 issues. They distribute that to all prosecutors, public defenders, and judges in the state. Hopefully some of you have gotten copies of that in the past. As I said, they're looking for funding all different places, and they asked me to ask the council if the council would be willing to make a donation to the journal so that it can continue to be published. I think in the first draft, it said, you know, whatever donation will, you know, implied that it would cover all the costs, but that's not what the ask is. It's just if the council would be willing to consider a donation to help it keep going.
So what's the purpose of this? I've never received one.
Oh, you haven't? Okay, well then we'll need to fix it. It's essentially a law review type journal that addresses criminal issues here in the state. We've had articles submitted by Troy Rawlings, a really good one on Brady Giglio issues. He co-authored it with Kent Hart. Ed wrote one on DUI issues. Josh Player have been published. There's probably others. Donna has currently submitted an article about her informed trauma response. The people that were assigned to edit it, we've got the edits back, so it's essentially ready to be published. But it's just a scholarly journal written by Utah criminal prosecutors and public defenders, you know, for Utah.
So is the board just equally divided between defense?
Yes.
And prosecution?
Mm-hmm. Correct, yes. And then there's Judge Bates, Matthew Bates, Judge Allen, Kevin Allen from Logan, and Judge Nolan from the juvenile court are also on the editorial board.
Any thoughts on that?
I remember paying a subscription fee for that, so I didn't think that it was free to everyone. Are you sure about that?
They told me that it was supposed to be sent out without a subscription, so I can look.
I think they sent one, and then they said in the future subscribe. I was pretty sure I'd subscribed, and I may be thinking of something different.
Okay, I will check on that.
They haven't sent us a journal.
I've never had one.
It's been 5, 7, 10 years.
I got one year ago that I think they might have had the Brady Giglio. Was that in the last edition?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That one.
That was one.
And then I subscribed, and then I haven't got one since.
Okay, so it sounds like there's a couple issues. One, it's not going out to all prosecutors. And then two, if they were collecting a paid subscription in the past.
I think it was on the inside cover that I saw that and subscribed.
Is there any way they could sustain that with an online edition?
They might. I'll take that back to them as well. I don't know.
Because that might be just a good way to still establish their footprint.
Right.
without incurring a paper cost on it. Because I think that people, and so maybe the paper cost really is sending those notices out to people and saying this is available online, so they can drive the traffic to them.
Right.
And then they may want to think about maybe some sort of online emails to all the folks, which will be cost effective, to put people on notice with a link to the online edition saying, by the way, this is something that you can look at and share. And then you can share that with all our prosecutors and send it as an email, and that will drive traffic.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's something that we could put on our webpage, the link to that as well. An advantage to supporting this is to try to encourage prosecutors to submit articles. That's one thing that, I've only been on the board for a short period of time, but as I look back at past articles, it's very heavily public defender oriented, but that's just because prosecutors aren't submitting, so.
What are their sources of funding, or are you guys looking?
Well, what they're looking at is some of the big criminal defense firms, looking at, you know, Westlaw, Lexis, some, you know, people like that, and then private donations.
Sounds to me like, from the comments, that we need some questions answered before we make that decision. So as far as the subscription fees, it's dissemination historically, and then if they look at the online publication.
Right. So all right, we have a board meeting in a couple of weeks, and I'll report that back to them.
Any other thoughts or any additions or deletions from that summation?
Just a note, Bob. Mm-hmm. Just from my point of view, if they want it to be posted on a website, we put it in a protected area and protect it any way they want, for either just prosecutors or even defense people. We could put it just, they'd have to, you know, catalog, and they could get just to that. You know?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's possible to do all that.
Okay. Thanks, Ron.
You know, and as I look through this agenda, Bob, it does look like we got ahead of ourselves. You just reported on the completed conferences, but if you go back to page one on the conference schedule, why don't we go ahead and jump back?
And go back to that. Okay.
Let's do that.
So spring conference is pretty much done. We just need to finalize, well, I guess I shouldn't say that. We still have to finalize a couple of speakers. I have reached out to Justice Lee to do the civility presentation. I have not heard back from him. I'm going to do a presentation. We had an hour that we needed to fill. So I'm going to take that time and go over the toolbox portion of our webpage to try to get some exposure there. I also want to introduce the community. It's called the New York Prosecutor Training Institute, NPTI. They do phenomenal work. They've got a really great online encyclopedia that nobody knows about, and so that I want to spend some time going through that as well, just to introduce that. So that's spring. On March 28th and 29th, through Sim's office, we appreciate him and his office for funding this. We are working with Rich Hamp to put together this conference, the use of expert witnesses in sexual assault and domestic violence cases. The intent of this conference is to create expert witnesses that can testify in these types of cases. What we're thinking is it will be like invitation only, almost, that will invite prosecutors from the various offices that prosecute these kinds of cases. And then have them bring whoever they want to train to be expert witnesses in this field and bring them to that training, whether it's a police officer, you know, detective investigator, or a victim advocate. It's going to be at the Viridian Center. Donna contacted Equitas, and John Wilkinson is coming out. Sim's office is going to cover his expenses. He doesn't charge a speaking fee or anything along those lines. So we're grateful for that, and Donna will also be presenting at that conference. So we're excited about that. We have very few expert witnesses that can testify in these kinds of cases, and so we're hoping that after this, we'll have experts all across the state that can testify. Over at number three, at the top of page two, this is something that we've talked about a number of times. I know Jeff has brought it up, Marianne O'Brien in his office, but a Title III wiretap conference. And Rich called again at the behest of Sim, wanting to know if UPC could co-sponsor this kind of a conference. I told him that I'd bring it up with the council. I just don't know that. Oh, and Andy's office has done some Title III, and they have reached out as well and offered their services. I just don't know. I guess it's my city background. I never did, wiretap. So is that a conference that would have a large appeal? We have talked about making it a breakout session at fall conference.
I think the approach is to sort of do it at a small, very small conference, mm-hmm. reach out to some people, and I don't anticipate this being a 200 people or 50
right.
people. I really anticipate this being maybe a 15 or 20 people conference with the key partners that we do have in different counties and critical partners, because this is a bit of information which is super specialized, but it is essential to our community.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to sort of reach out to put that together on a very condensed fashion. This is not something we want to announce to the world or anything like that, in the sense that this is a deficit that we want to get a better understanding of.
Okay.
And there's really not a national conference out there.
Yeah.
They're all oriented towards the police. Or I don't know if the feds have one, but for state prosecutors, we've looked and looked and never found anything beneficial.
So that's why it was part of that, Jeff, that sort of we just said we wanted something to get a better understanding. These are issues that do happen, and we wanted to do a very small sort of thing. But it is a kind of a very special thing.
So would it be an invitation only?
Yeah,
or?
I think so. I would reach out to some of my sister jurisdictions, that might be interested in that, and some key partners.
Frankly, it's really boring stuff. So you're not going to have a lot of people saying, wow, I want to go do that. It's mm-hmm. pretty dry.
Our goal is to have about 4 or 5 people.
So I want to send 2 or 3,
maybe
4.
So is it a full day, a half day conference, or is it?
It all depends on, and this is where maybe our partners from the U.S. Attorney's Office can help. It is very detail oriented, meticulous material, but it is material which is not readily available in any format,
mm-hmm.
And so more out of need than anything else. We'll probably end up doing it if there is no other interest, because I've got people that I want to get trained
right.
and be aware of this stuff. And I may reach out, so I think I'd ask Rich, I go reach out to see if there's any interest there. If not, we'll just do it very fast.
The AG wanted to do it. We were partnering with
Janice.
No, let's go to our meetings.
Greg for
Greg. Greg.
Okay.
Greg wanted to do it. He just kind of fizzled because he didn't seem interested. But I agree. There's a need. Or 30 or less conference. If you want to add a police portion,
no, I think
probably.
I think if anything, I anticipate with our participating law enforcement partners, they will have probably a far larger number of people who will come from different representative agencies. But I'm really thinking a handful of prosecutors there. But there is a huge deficit. It's very. It's like a super specialized training.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing, we've scoured, we haven't found it, and I think what we've really kind of reduced ourselves down to is to identify some key practitioners around the country who are actually doing the stuff, bring in, reach out to our federal partners to see what resources they rely on, and maybe put something together that way. So it's mm-hmm. just a mess.
So, I know that when Jeff and I talked before, there was going to be the law enforcement element to that, but right now you want to focus on the prosecutor.
No, I think you're going to have to do them together.
Okay.
I think that's probably, in terms of economies of scale, one, just to get something started is rare enough, so I think I want to take advantage of that, including our law enforcement and the prosecution.
Well, what do you think about, is this something that Post has ever taught?
Well, and I know because when Rich first called me, I sent out an email to my national counterparts asking, does anybody have training? Crickets.
Yes.
It's a very vocal group and normally very helpful, so the sense I'm getting is that there's nobody out there on the state level anyway.
But these cases are won or lost by the affidavits.
Yeah.
That's true. I can tell you, we've done training for law enforcement, just for law enforcement, federal law enforcement. I think UHP might have been a part of it, but
anyway, it took a couple of days. I mean, it's very complicated.
It is.
And like Jeff and Sim were saying, they're won or lost based on the affidavit. And the agents are in charge of the affidavit. It's just like any other search warrant. We're just in charge of editing it and making sure it's legally sufficient. Like I said, just last year we did a two-day training. Every single prosecutor in our office that prosecutes narcotics has multiple active wiretaps going. We have one guy who's the national expert, who's the expert in San Diego, that came to our office. We're more than willing to do anything you guys want.
Maybe we can sort of top
well, line. Yeah. And that's what I was going to say. Can that training then be tailored to the state?
Absolutely. Right. Same requirements.
And so you're saying
ours is easier than theirs.
Yeah.
Right. So
easier to get through because there are less hoops.
Yeah.
So,
but we have the same sort of objective obligations that are identical. So.
Right.
But it took you 2 days?
It did, but that was kind of soup to nuts everything. I think that we could, if you guys just want to set aside a day, I mean, I think we could knock it out.
So who's your expert that we can get a hold of?
We have Aaron Clark is the individual. He's going to be tied up on a huge white collar case.
Well, and I don't see that this is something that we're going to be able to get done.
We would love to do it. We have three or four prosecutors who have helped in this area teaching us. So
we're talking small group, though, but if we're including law enforcement, I was thinking with your conference
room. I think what we need to do is, as we reach out to the chiefs, what we're saying, who is assigned from your division to be part of this that you would like to send.
One from just prosecutors first, and then
back. Well, I think part of the I like the two-day approach because, and I do like it from A to Z, because it's hard enough to bring somebody down anyways. And if we have that opportunity, I would much rather do it thorough and do it once, and to invite our critical partners. And then that's one of the. There was actually a to-do was to follow up with the U.S. Attorney's office as well. So. That we're discussing it. But I think that I anticipate, at least I may be wrong, I'm anticipating probably about 10 to 15 prosecutors, and I'm anticipating about 25 to 35 law enforcement folks. So about a 40-person, but very tight bioregulation only. For those that have a willingness to commit and recognize the need, but if you're never going to do it, you know, it makes no sense to have a large group, you know, so.
So your conference room, how many people could that accommodate?
If we can put together the people, we'll find a space for it.
Well, because it'd be easy for prosecutors, but if we're going to bring law enforcement, maybe then the Viridian Center just tap off those rooms or something.
Viridian or somewhere. I think finding space won't be a challenge. It's just.
We can even do it in our county. 50 people in it.
Oh, yeah.
Most
of them. Yeah. Okay. Oh, that's true. Post. Actually, that might be better because then Post can film it and then we've got a record.
Or even live feed.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a great idea. I like that.
Another thing I wanted to offer up is that just generally in regards to conference space and meetings, whatever you guys want to have, we just moved into a beautiful new building, 111 South Main. It's just a big glass building. We'd love for you to have any immediate law enforcement related you want to have at our office. Anytime, it'd be a good opportunity to have you in our office. And just one block south, it's just right across from City Creek. It's a good space. I think you can easily fit in about 120 people at least, probably more. So plenty of space in there.
Thanks, Andy.
Even UPC, whatever you guys want to have, more than welcome.
So is the consensus that the UPC would like to co-sponsor that type of training? Any thoughts? Any dissension?
Okay. Can I make one more comment? So even though only three counties are actively using these, the equipment now is very mobile. It really is just an internet hookup with other complicated stuff being done at Salt Lake or Unified. So any agency that has this type of investigation can use these tools. I think we've had St. George approach us, we've had a couple others approach us. You know, they get intimidated a little bit by the manpower costs. But if you go to cartel, a lot of times it's the only way to get to them. So there's value for even some of the smaller counties who have narcotics task forces that they're involved with, yeah, getting people trained.
I know that I've talked to our detectives, and they've been involved in some of those and gone into the rooms. Yeah. And so, yeah, they're excited to get some additional.
I think when we built this, we actually have computers that you can take, put in your jurisdiction if you create your own secure room. Is that still the case?
I think it is.
You could run the wiretap from Layton if you want. If I recall right, that's still possible. Because, again, you're just wiring in through the internet to Sims high-speed equipment. I don't know what it is.
Service.
Okay. All right. Now let's do it.
Okay. All right. Well, Andy, we'll get, I'll get a reach out to Aaron and see who's gotten. Reach out to the offices that are interested, maybe get some help from you guys, put together an agenda and whatnot. Okay. Okay, the CLE fee. Many of you were here for the SWAT board meeting. It got brought up. But we just received notice that the bar is upping the CLE fee from $15 to $20. And so we're proposing that we increase the cost of our conferences by that much just to cover that cost. So public attorneys and law enforcement would be $80 per conference, and private attorneys would be $305. So we're not making any money, it's just to cover our costs.
Can I speak on that one?
Yeah.
We bumped that quite a bit just a couple years ago. I remember when we met up at Weber State, and we bumped those by quite a bit. I mentioned this in the SWAT meeting too. Seems like if Donna's on the agenda, we'll do anything we can to get her more money and keep her, and everything else is kind of working around keeping her. And so I personally am opposed to bumping those fees up for that purpose. I just hear her name come up too often. I don't think we should subsidize her and give less training or bump our price and get less people to come to our training. There's a cost benefits analysis there, and you guys know how I feel because I'm on record for it, but I personally am opposed to it. I don't think we're that tight on the budget that we need an extra $5 off every person.
Any other comments?
Well, if we keep doing the civil conference, I like the idea that if a conference costs more, the people who attend should pay more for that conference, because presumably they're getting more value out of it because we're paying more to put it on. I don't know if that would, I'm not saying just charge the civil more, if the criminal side starts to become more costly, and this sounds like it is a cost of that. Is mm-hmm. that how we're looking at it? Even though it's not specific conference tied to any specific conference, it's processing those CLE hours, right?
Correct.
And so it is tied to those conferences. I'm not necessarily opposed to the increase, but I do think that needs to be looked at so that those conferences you're paying, obviously they're subsidized, and they should be, but you are paying an appropriate amount for what you're getting out of that conference or what's being offered. So
the issue before us then is, as Bob stated, the $5 is basically a pass-through because of the state. And so that would affect the cost of the conference. Like Jan stated, some time ago we did increase the fees for our conference attendance. But let's go ahead and let's first of all have a motion, and then we can have some discussion on that. So basically, the issue before the council is whether we're going to increase our attendance fees by $5, as that's what we're getting deemed by the state bar for the MCLE monitoring, whatever they call it.
Did the increase that we already have, did that not cover this extra $5, or is it
that
behind
was,
again? Or
I think
what?
We went from $35 to about 70 or 75.
75.
It was like almost double.
But that was...
That was as a result of the decrease, or the reduction in the surcharge.
Yeah, that was in response to that. But that's been
a tight budget year.
That's been 5 years ago.
That sounds right.
Sorry, I don't vote here, but my recollection is we actually in part did that because we were getting inundated with defense attorneys at the spring conference, and we thought we should do a more of a fair pricing model where prosecutors' offices that were members of UPC and SWAP were getting a discount
but not so much. I think there was an issue of overall cost. But we really did it to increase the charge to the defense bar.
Yeah, well, we did both. We went ours, I think it was 35 to 75 or something like that, and then we had no difference for the defense bar, and we increased, at that time, we just went to, I think it was 1.5.